I am Jack. I am a grateful believer. I'm an alcoholic fighting victory over that addiction. And tonight's teaching is our spiritual inventory part two. So here we go.
Hey.
So remember last week, if you were here, we looked at four, and the whole idea behind it is we get into our inventory, whether it's our inventory that we're doing in the step study, or whether it's our daily inventory, or whether it's your first night here, and you're thinking, what is this that he's talking about? But essentially, when we talk about doing a fearless and searching moral inventory, it's really going into ourselves, and one way to put it is, why am I here in a recovery meeting? What do I need recovery for? Well, I think that everybody needs recovery. It's just kind of identifying what are the areas. And you even heard it tonight in the ladies introducing themselves. I'm an alcoholic, but I'm here working on all sorts of other things. That's why I continue to come back every Wednesday night. They kind of shared what brought them in the door, but then as they're here and have taken this journey, they're working on all these other aspects. And so a lot of times our inventory reveals these things to us. However, it is a daunting process. It can be an overwhelming process, but it shouldn't be. It should be important. It should have gravity, but it should be something that with God you can do. And so that's one of the things that if you have started an inventory before and stopped, that's the enemy. And the enemy is going to work oftentimes the hardest on you as you get close to putting this moral inventory together. Because as we start to bring these things to light, that's hitting the enemy. I talked this weekend to the high schoolers, just kind of telling them why it's important for them to share their testimonies. We'll be back to a testimony next week, by the way. And one of the reasons I say that is, we talk about putting the armor of God on. And if you look at that passage about the armor of God, I think it's in Ephesians chapter 6, It to me, it's a lot of defensive stuff. It's the helmet, it's the breastplate, it's the boots and all. And I want to go attack the enemy, okay? I don't want to just be constantly saying, oh, stop, 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 and pushing away. I want to go out and attack him. And it talks about the spirit of the sword right towards the end of that. And so when we go and we share our testimony or we do our inventory and we get this stuff out into the light, we are taking that sword. We're taking the spirit. And we are going out and actively attacking. So as we do that, though, we want to kind of, where do we look in our lives for those things? And last week we talked about four areas, our relationships and mining those for, usually that's a wealth of information for our inventory of relationships that we've just been involved in our lives and what's that, maybe some bad relationships. We've done some bad things. Other people have done bad things to us. Just a myriad things in relationships. We talked about your priorities in life. We talked about your attitude, and we talked also about your integrity. So we looked at those four areas, and I gave you some kind of focus or cue questions to kind of be thinking about. Because if you just take first glance, say, "Well, I'm a pretty, my integrity, I think, is pretty good. I don't cheat too many people." Well, then that means you're cheating some. So let's work on those, kind of thing. White lies is a lie, that kind of idea. So tonight, four more areas that we're going to look at pretty briefly, and these are more internal. Okay, well, I guess we looked at some internal stuff last week, but I should say, but I guess it's a mix between internal and external. I look at this. And the first one we're going to start with is definitely internal, and that's our mind. Your mind. And what do I mean by that? Romans 12:2 gives us some clear direction, as John Baker writes in the Leader Guide here. He says, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we talk about that in that kind of mirrors what we look at in Principle 4, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust, all right? And happier the pure in heart is the beatitude that goes with that, so that our mind and our heart's kind of connected in that. And then that scripture that I just read really kind of matches up a lot with the lamentation scripture we have for step four, which is we made a searching and fearless moral inventory ourselves. Now, the lamentation scripture says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So that's what Paul is talking about in Romans here, too, is looking at, don't conform to the pattern of this world. You're in this world, but not being of this world. And so looking at, be transformed by the Spirit. Be that new creation. Does that mean you're perfect and you do the right thing and say the right thing all the time? No. But it means you are a new creation, and so therefore you have the capacity to do those things. And I've shared with you before, before coming into CR, before getting into recovery, before becoming a follower of Christ, I don't know if I even had the capacity because I just didn't have that little voice inside of me. It just wasn't there. I mean, it was, yeah, I knew the law. I knew it was wrong to steal, but I would still steal and didn't have, and feel fine about it. Now that's a different, there's something different there. So I'm not, being transformed. So we're going to be looking at your mind. A couple of things I want you to focus in on to ask yourself as you're kind of looking at, what do you mean by the mind? Have you filled your mind with harmful or hurtful or unhealthy movies, internet sites, TV, magazines, books? Okay, what are you putting into this thing, in other words? What are these eyes viewing? What are you loading into your hard drive? And so many times the hurts, habits, hang-ups we have because we're continuously gravitating towards this type of visual or not, or this type of movie or show or book or whatever. So what are you putting into that mind of yours? So be thinking about that. And I had a discussion with a friend of mine at lunch today talking about, are we saying that you can't dance and listen to country music? No. That's not what Jesus is saying, but we need to be aware of where are we grounding our mind? What are we putting in? And if we're putting in crud, then a lot of times that's the output that we're going to get. And so just watching that as an area. Have you failed to concentrate on the positive truths in the Bible? We talk a lot about when we're doing our inventory, keeping it balanced. Okay. Have you failed to look at those positive truths in the Bible? Who your true identity in Christ is? Who does God say you are? And that many times leads us, when we start thinking about what other people might be saying to us, about us, or thinking, or whatever, and I just always ask people, ask yourself, is that true? If somebody calls you a liar, is that true? If it is, well, then you need to address that. They're calling you on that. That's accountability. If it's not, then you don't need to be worked up about it, because that's not true. And then who does God say you are as his child? And so reflecting on some of those positive truths that are in the Bible of your value, what Christ did for you. I was talking to the high schoolers again this weekend, and they were asking a question about, how do you deal with that? And that was something, and once again, it was also new for me as a Christian, that idea of I'm supposed to be this new creation, and I'm still thinking these same thoughts. I'm still doing these same stupid things. Where's the new creation? I'm not, to get frustrated, feeling bad, feeling guilty, feeling, going down the shame road. Well, that's just the enemy. And what it is me not focusing on the truth of what Christ did on the cross, his grace for me. I can't outscrew up the cross, no matter how hard I try, okay? And it's not about testing that. It's not just about keep screwing up and get the get-out-of-hell free card because Jesus died for me. No, it's because he did die for me, and I should be a better person because of that. But I'm still human. Okay, so that idea of focusing in on those positive truths in the Bible. The second area we want to look at is your body, just your physical body. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 in the Living Bible says, haven't you learned that your body is the home of the Holy Spirit of God, that God gave you, and that he lives within you? Your body does not belong to you, for God has bought you with a great price. So use every part of your body to give glory back to God because he owns it. So that's a more casual translation. But just that concept of this body that we have begun in the image of our Creator. And so you might want to look at, in what ways have you mistreated this body that God owns? What have you put into it? What have you done with it? How have you demeaned it, defiled it? Okay, those type of things. What activities or habits caused harm to your physical health? Those of you that know my story know that I was truly drinking myself to death. I had drank so much to the point my liver was shutting down. I was yellow from the jaundice, and I was given a 50-50 shot of living. So that's a very real physical aspect of my story. Definitely. And then that led to many other health complications. And then that led to poor decisions of what I would do with my body in an inebriated state. And then that led to poor choices about what I would consume food-wise, even You know, if you're drunk, chips look great. That's a diet. So that you could live on chips, couldn't you? Right? You know, that kind of thing. So it's just all these things that kind of cascade off of that. So we're looking at our body. So once again, just think about your body, your past. Think about it, though, from that standpoint of this temple. You know, we talk about the body being a temple. That God is living. The Spirit is indwelt in us. And how can you live better? In that respect, but also as a, once again, on your inventory, what have you done in the past that's not been honoring to that temple? The third area, your family. So now we're going external. Mind and body, internal, external. Your family. Have you mistreated anyone in your family? And how? So that, you know, areas to take notes. That's an area that you might mine. Against whom in your family do you have a resentment or resentments? Who do you owe an amends to? That's not saying you need to go out and make that amends right now, especially if you haven't maybe gone through a study, haven't gotten a sponsor, but just be thinking about that. Who do you need to make an amends to? Now, if you don't know what an amends is, that's okay. We've got a lesson on that, as you can imagine. That's why you get a sponsor. That's why you do a step study, because there's a. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's not just making things right, okay? It's a deeper spiritual process, a true amends process. And oftentimes, what you get out of it is not someone saying, oh, that's okay, or an apology back. You get right with God, and that's far more powerful. But in our earthly mode, sometimes we try to manipulate that, or we go in sheepishly and we think, okay, if I apologize, then this, I get, you know, it's almost a transaction, and that's not what it's about. So anyway, but think about who do you owe an amends to in your family? And then what is the family secret that you or others, you know, have been denying? And you may not have one. Okay, I'll be honest with you, when I do this question in my step study, I haven't come up with one. Other than in my drinking days, my wife and I would pretend with other people like I was fine. Okay, so it was our little family secret. The kids weren't around yet. So we kept that. We kept the trouble in our marriage. We kept the extent of my addiction. So that was our family secret. So at this stage, now that I'm not doing those things, I don't have a family secret, you know, in our immediate family and in my extended family. I don't have one that I know. It's still secret, I guess, if there is one. But many times there's that we don't talk about Uncle Bob because X, or we all know that so-and-so is a crackhead, but we don't say anything, or we all, you know, whatever it is. So think about that. Many times that denial is almost, I don't think it's scientifically proven as genetic, but it's almost a part of your family structure. And we are products of that structure many times. So you have a chance, one of my favorite phrases, I forget who used it, but you have a chance to change your family tree here and become a new branch bearing a new fruit. Okay, so many times as we look at the family secret, family dynamic, what have you kind of played along with? Many times that family secret involves us and repressed events. Many times people get into a step study or get into recovery and they start peeling back the layers and they realize, oh my goodness, I'm part of that family secret. So be thinking about that. And then finally, another external one, your church. I think, well, church, okay. Hebrews 10:25, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. And that idea of do you have a church? Are you a member of a church? If not, you should be looking towards that. It's not just CR Wednesday night. A lot of people think of this as their church. That's fine, but it shouldn't be your church. It should be like a supplement to that. Do you have a church family? Have you been faithful to your church in the past? Or have you been one of those, you know, as I say, Christmas and Easter Christians, Or you just go all in like I did for most of my life and just atheist agnostic and not even set foot in a church because why bother? It's not going to do anything. God doesn't exist. You know, that type of, that's my story. So that's a whole different area. But many of you who have attended churches, part of a church, been raised in a church, that type of thing, what's that look like? We hear stories all the time up here and testimonies of folks that have been to churches that, for lack of a better way to say it, messed them up. Okay. And some of that might be in your story or your history as well. So be, you know, thinking about that. How have you been critical instead of active in your church? Are you a church shopper? I don't like the music, so I'm going to bop on down the road. I don't like, you know, this, that, or the other thing. So many times it's easy to criticize, but then not get in and help do something about that. So are you active in your church? Have you discouraged your family to support the church? Or like in my case, my wife started attending Rolling Hills here a number of years before I did when our first child was born. And so I figured that's great. I get 6 days a week to tell Hannah that, you know, mom is screwed up and this Christian thing's a big hoot. And then she gets one day to try to prove me wrong here at church on Sunday. Okay. So that's how it looked in my household, of trying to discourage friends and my own family from their faith. So those are all areas that are rich. And so those kind of eight overarching areas, as you sit down either on a frequent or somewhat regular basis to kind of inventory your life, and you're kind of thinking, well, where do I start? Start with relationships. Start with your integrity. Start with your attitude. Start with your priorities. Take a look at things like, what are you putting into your body and your mind? What is your church? Where is your church? How is your church? You know, what's your church family like? And of course, your family of origin family. So looking at those things. And remember, I tell you all the time, the thing I love about, or one of the things I love about this ministry, is these are not things to get us stuck and bogged down and to blame and say, well, I'm this way because my church was this way. I'm this way because my folks were this way. I'm this way because I watched this show or whatever. It's not about shifting blame or making excuses. It's about saying, yes, I did these things. I engaged in this activity. These things happened to me. This was real. This was hurt. This was pain, this was wrong, whatever it is. But now we're not going to stay there. It's going to be, what am I going to do about it? So that's the journey. And that's where the inventory, getting that out, making sure that it's in the light so the enemy cannot use that against you. That's what it's all about. So anyway, hopefully you found some value in these last 2 weeks where we've kind of combined these two lessons with, you know, without a testimony in between, just because I really want us to kind of focus on this. I want this to be something that you continue to come back to. And so hopefully you've kept the handouts and kind of really thinking about this. Inventory should not just be reserved for a step study. It should be an ongoing process to some degree or another. All right? Let me pray and close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the positive truths that are in Scripture. And I ask that you draw each of us to your word and each of us to those truths as we begin to meander. I ask that you give us the courage to look at ourselves, our physical bodies, our minds, to look at how have we been in our church. Or churches, if we've been to many, how are we as a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or an extended family member in our family? And I ask that you just place on our heart those things that we need to own, those things that we need to ask for accountability on, those things that maybe we still need time in prayer with you on, because there's some deep hurts. But I ask that we begin to work on those. And I ask that we begin to examine our lives so that we don't continue to repeat the behaviors over and over again. It'll take us back to that sanity lesson where we talk about that. So Lord, I pray that this last 2 weeks that you've been working mightily in our hearts as we've looked at these areas, and do as you always do. Just continue to persist and to pursue. Likely all of us in this room have had you speak to us over this last couple of weeks about just something that's just not right, and we know it. And I ask that you just give us the courage to bring it to you and then to maybe take it to others and work on that to become truly who you created us to be. We pray these things in your name, Father. Amen.